But switching gears now, Pfizer and BioNTech announced today that they are delaying their request for the FDA to authorize their COVID-19 vaccine for children under age 5 as the companies wait to continue their clinical study and receive efficacy data on a third dose of the shot for children. Pfizer said in its statement earlier, quote, given that the study is advancing at a rapid pace, the companies will wait for the three-dose data as Pfizer and BioNTech continue to believe it may provide a higher level of protection in this age group. Dr. Oney Blackstock, Health Justice founder and executive director, joins us now for this and more on the virus, as well as Yahoo Finance's own health reporter, Anjali Kamlani. Dr. Blackstock, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. With this announcement from Pfizer, on one hand, yes, we may get the two-dose vaccine, as well as this booster now authorized out of the Fed or out of the FDA all in one swoop. But at the same time, this is a blow for parents who had been awaiting the first two doses for their younger children. What do you make of this latest announcement and how this may impact the response that we're seeing to the pandemic?
Well, thank you, Emily, for having me on. And, you know, I agree. I think there will be many parents out there, parents of children under 5, who will be very disappointed at this news. If it had gone through and it had been authorized, the rollout was scheduled for late February. Now we're looking at potentially early spring, if the third dose shows itself to be effective. My sense and my understanding is that regulators in the FDA were concerned with the data from the two-dose regimen, the lack of efficacy in creating strong protection, a strong immune response in those children aged 2 to less than 5 years old. And so they felt more comfortable and confident in doing an evaluation of the data with that third dose. So I think in many ways, parents should feel, assured and more comfortable and confident once we have that third dose data and based on whatever the FDA decides. However, it definitely is a blow, I think, to many parents who will have to wait a few months longer. And again, those under 5 are the only group for whom there is not a vaccine that's currently authorized.
Dr. Blackstock, Anjali here. I want to dig into that just a little bit further because I know, you know, everything around this submission has been basically a saga, starting from the FDA requesting Pfizer to submit for the two doses. We heard from FDA's Dr. Peter Marks earlier saying that the surge, the Omicron surge, kind of spurred this request for submission. And now that that's subsided, it seems like they're willing to wait just a little bit longer for those three doses. And based on the timeline, like you mentioned, if it had started in late February, that 2 months window for that third dose would have been cutting it real close if data was supposed to come in by April. How do you think that this plays out in terms of just ongoing focus on how the Biden administration is handling this pandemic? Does this add to the confusion and frustration, or is this a good move?
Yeah, no, I think that's such a great question. There's been, you know, lots of conflicting messages that have been given to the public. And I think, unfortunately, this is, you know, one additional message that may find many parents and the general public confused. So I think it will be important for the FDA to, you know, to message in a way that's very clear, really stating that they can be more confident about whether to make this recommendation if they have a full picture of the data. And the unfortunate part is that, you know, Pfizer unfortunately chose, you know, they had to select a dose for these clinical trials. And unfortunately, the dose they chose was on the lower side and unable to produce a strong immune response in those aged 2 to less than 5. However, hopefully with this third dose, they will see a strong immune response among all children less than 5 and be able to, the FDA can then make their recommendation and we can have this group that's been ineligible finally protected.
What's the time span that we would expect them to resubmit under and to put some more of that data forward?
Yeah, I believe my understanding is that the results should be available in April in 2 months, and then that data would be immediately submitted to the FDA for its advisory group to review. And if they approved it, then it would move on to the CDC. So it's probably April, May that we will probably see a decision made on this vaccine.
just in time for summer break. I want to ask you about the mask mandates and dropping of those, as well as what we're seeing in Europe with dropping of testing requirements, especially for vaccinated. It seems like there is a shift in attention in how policies are being created. CDC also weighing the idea of putting in certain guidelines based on vaccination status. Where we stand right now, even with kids about 20% vaccinated, adults sort of stagnant there. Do you see any hope that maybe any of these policies could help come another surge, or do we still need to focus largely on vaccinations?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think we've largely had a vaccine-centric, vaccine-focused approach here to responding to the pandemic in the United States. And then this confusion around the effectiveness of masking, and the sort of politicization of it has added to this. And then we're seeing many, states with Democratic governors rescinding mask mandates. So it gives a really confusing message at the same time that we're encouraging Americans to, who haven't been vaccinated, to get boosted. We're also sort of doing away with these other protections that we know when layered with vaccination can be highly effective. So I think it's an incredibly confusing message. Now it's going to be up to really individuals to weigh sort of the risks and benefits, to understand what the level of transmission is in their community and decide whether they're going to wear a mask or not. It is encouraging that there are some states that have still continued to have mask mandates for schools. Although transmission tends to be lower in schools, we know that it still does happen, and children can take those infections home to their parents, to other caregivers. So there are lots of ripple effects in terms of transmission within schools. So I think we'll see what happens over the next few months, but we're seeing, in the United States and across Europe, even in countries that still are at the peak of their Delta waves or Omicron waves, we still see them lifting many restrictions that have been proven to be effective in lowering community transmission of the virus.
Dr. Oni Blackstock, Health Justice founder and executive director, and Yahoo Finance's own Anjali Kamlani, thank you both again for your time this afternoon.